So yesterday, when the Baltimore Ravens reported for practice, it was pretty much business as usual, as it has been this week. Roquan Smith, he wasn't practicing. Nelson Agholor, he came back to practice after missing it with a sickness, and everything else was pretty much the same, besides Tyler Linderbaum popping up on an injury report, and they said he was missing practice. It comes to find out it was for his back, so hopefully he'll be straight. I think he will, but you never know, but I think he'll be good to go. Tyler Linderbaum is very, very tough, and that boy, he don't miss much time, man. So I think he'll play. But hey, we'll see when we see. But we got a little quick surprise pop up on that injury report from yesterday, because it came out once the Ravens dropped the official one that Rashad Bateman did not practice because of his knee. Now, the final injury report is going to come out later on today. So hopefully it's just a quick little issue. Maybe he was a little bit sore or something from running all those precise routes and whatnot. I don't know, but hopefully he'll be good to go, because like I said, for these Chargers, this is a must-win game for the Baltimore Ravens. Like, it's coming down to it. Like, it's already getting ready to be December in, like, what, about a week? Then we got January be right around the corner, and then that'll be playoffs. So Ravens need to position themselves accordingly. I mean, first, you got to get in, period. That's the most important thing. But then positioning and everything, but Ravens got to take care of their business. But that's not even what we are going to primarily talk about today. I mean, today is going to be focusing on you guys. I mean, really, every episode we focus on you guys, because y'all are the most important part of this channel. And we have some really interesting questions from Baltimore Ravens fans, from Team Keep It Clean. And the first one we're going to start off with came from my guy, Jarvo. And I've actually seen this question floating around Ravens Twitter. And it's about Daniel Jones. Daniel Jones, of course, he was the former first-round pick of the New York Giants. And it has not been pretty there. Has not been pretty for Daniel Jones. It could be for a multitude of reasons, but bottom line, it ain't worked out. So the other day, Daniel Jones got benched. He got moved to second string. They got moved to third string. They got moved way down to fourth string. And I said, fourth string? Wow. Giants really, like, I thought they would have done this a long time ago, but they finally, like, whoa, they dropped him all the way down. But that wasn't it. Then Daniel Jones, he read what sounded like a goodbye letter to the Giants. And I was like, why would he read that now? Like, we still got however many games left in the season. Why is he reading that letter like that? Like, I've never seen anything like that before. But come to find out, he got released. He got cut. So now he's on waivers. And with Daniel Jones having been released on Friday, he has until Monday 4 p.m. to clear waivers. Now, if a team decides they want to take the chance on Daniel Jones, then they can do that and they can put in a claim for him. They would have to take on the remainder of his contract too, though. I don't see anybody doing that. So I fully expect him to clear waivers, and then they let the Giants pay for the rest of that contract, and then a team could sign him as a free agent. But that led to the question from my guy Jarvo, and he did preface it with the following. He said, now, this is a funny question. Funny question. But he said, fun question. He said, should we bring in Daniel Jones as a backup? And initially when I saw that, I said, Daniel Jones as a backup. It didn't work out there for him with the Giants. And a lot of times he did not look good. But I was just talking to my uncle about this yesterday, over the past couple of days, actually. He brought up quarterbacks like Sam Darnold. He brought up quarterbacks like Geno Smith. Let me go to our text so I can look up the other quarterbacks that he was talking about as well. Because he brought up some really, really good names. He also talked about the possibility with Jameis Winston as well. But he talked about how these quarterbacks, and there's more on the list, of course, but it's all about situation, man. It's all about situation when it comes to these quarterbacks. It's all about timing. It's all about circumstances. You can be in a really bad, and this is just in life in general too. When you're working, if you're at school, it could be for a lot of different situations. If you're in a really bad situation, you can be an amazing student, amazing athlete, amazing whatever that you are. And if you're in the wrong situation, you will never get to showcase just how amazing you are. If you're in the wrong situation, and it's unfortunate, I feel like a lot of us have been there before, and it can be frustrating on your part, and you can be like, man, and it can even make you feel bad about yourself. It can make you feel like, man, I thought that I was better than what I'm doing. I guess maybe I'm not. So, and I'm not saying that Daniel Jones is this amazing quarterback or anything like that, but if he were to possibly, maybe be in a different situation, maybe it could work out better for him. And with the Baltimore Ravens, he would pose no threat at all to Lamar Jackson to take over for him. He wouldn't even get to wear the same number. Well, after this year, he'll get to wear that number 8 for Lamar Jackson, if you know what I mean. But if the Ravens were to bring him on board, that'd be cool. Would he be an upgrade over Josh Johnson? Depends on how you look at it. I did see somebody say, well, if the Ravens were to bring in a Daniel Jones, then he would be able to run the play. They wouldn't have to change the playbook so much like they would have to for Josh Johnson, because Josh Johnson cannot run the plays that Lamar Jackson can run. He cannot do it because he can't move like that. But Daniel Jones, he can move a lot more than Josh Johnson, so he'd be able to run a lot more of the plays that Lamar can run. Now, with Lamar, that's the thing, man. It's not that simple. Lamar Jackson makes so much stuff look a lot easier than it should. He makes a lot of tough situations a lot easier than they should be. And when we as Ravens fans, we're so spoiled because we watch Lamar Jackson every single week do all this crazy stuff all the time. And for us as Ravens fans, not even that it's normal, but he just does it at such a high level all the time. And he does this spectacular stuff. And we like, So when somebody else comes in and we like, oof, what is he doing? Like, I'll never forget 2019, the first game of the season against the Dolphins. We were there in person. I loved that game. Oh, it was one of my favorite games ever. But the first game of the season, Lamar, 5 touchdowns. He running around, getting all these y'all doing this thing so fast. RG3 comes in. It's like, why is RG3 running so slow? RG3 got world-class speed. He was a track star, right? It just didn't look the same. And then we know RG3 is still a little bit older, but still, it's different. It's different when you watch Lamar for so long, then somebody else comes in. It's like, oh, what's that? So with Daniel Jones, it would be different. It would be a lot different. But at the same time, would he be an upgrade over Josh Johnson? I think that he would. But then at the same time, something that you got to consider. And we don't expect either one of the two to even play. We don't expect that at all. And it is funny because I actually saw Ravens fans say, why are we at this point of the season, why are we even talking about a backup quarterback? We need to be focusing on winning the next game. But again, we don't put on the pads and the helmets and the shoulder pads and the jerseys and all that. We support them. We root for them. We're like, yeah, go Ravens. We can think about whatever we want to. It don't impact the game at all. But anyway, with Daniel Jones, yeah, he could technically be an upgrade over Josh Johnson, but he would have to learn the playbook. It wouldn't be an upgrade over anything if he ain't know what was going on with the Ravens offense. So that's what Josh Johnson definitely got him. Athletic-wise, obviously, he got Josh Johnson by a mile. But when it comes to knowledge of the Baltimore Ravens offense, when it comes to their playbook and whatnot, he does not have Josh Johnson at all. But again, that ain't a worry for us, having to use the backup quarterback. Now, you always want to stay ready, so you ain't got to get ready. But Lamar going to be just fine. He going to be straight. He's sore and whatnot. And you know what's crazy? It seems like the Ravens already had that bye. They ain't even had that bye week yet. They ain't even had that bye week yet. It's coming up. And then I think after the bye week, then they got a crazy tough stretch of like 3 games in 11 days, something like that. It's something crazy. I forgot what it is, but whew. But yeah. So but should they do it? They could. You could sign him to the practice squad, have him learn, and then have him sit under Lamar next year. And then if he goes sign somewhere else after next year, then you get a comp pick for him. You could do something like that, and that could work out. It could work out. Because right now, I think Devin Leary is still on a practice squad. Would he be an upgrade over Devin Leary? Yeah. So you could sign him to the practice squad, and then he could sort of be that, all right, we planning for next year. Because, all right, Josh Johnson, thanks for everything. Hey, you're going to go out a Super Bowl champion, though. So that's great. And then they could be planning for next year, have Daniel Jones. So they could do something like that. But, again, I don't think it's – they could do something like that, and it'd be simple as that. Now, it's funny because timing is everything. Pro Football Talk, Mike Florio, they just put out this article. Said, it's easy to criticize QB Daniel Jones because things didn't work out in New York, but he'd be an immediate upgrade at the number 2 quarterback position for most of the current playoff contenders. I think that's funny. That's timing, right? That's real timing. Now, I also saw something, too, that said, hey, that Aaron Rodgers, that he ain't going to be part of the Jets' plans next year, but they could possibly, you know, what? They could possibly release him this year. Now, that's who I wouldn't mind as Lamar Jackson's backup.
Is he really all that slow, Quan?
I like that title for that question. Next question came from my guy, Veronica. He said, "Hey, Engraven, oh, hope all is well and the team keep it clean. Family, appreciate you." He said, "So I just got something to say. People been dogging on Roquan all year that he's slow and out of place." Yeah. In that Steelers game, he wasn't. And again, there have been flashes throughout this year here and there. But overall, he hadn't looked himself. He had looked pretty sluggish. And we had been saying this since week one and all throughout pretty much, but minus last week. But he had been looking pretty sluggish overall this season. But the Steelers game was a big improvement, but then he ended up getting hurt. Anyway, he said, "While yes, in pass coverage, he has not been good as last year, but I feel like that was because he was trying to compensate for a terrible pass defense, which would explain why he did a little better against the Steelers." That would make sense. That would make sense. He said, "Also, we can't forget that Roquan leads the NFL in tackles. I feel like we will see how big of a piece he really is in this game against the Chargers." That's where numbers can sort of get... that's a good thing. Hey, leading the NFL in tackles is this great. That means you bring in a lot of ball carriers down. That's not really the end-all, be-all, necessarily. But I think the bigger thing for us with Roquan Smith is just looking at impact plays. How is he impacting the game? Is he having a positive impact on the game? Is he having a negative impact on the game? What's happening with Roe? But again, like you mentioned, against the Steelers, he did start to look a whole lot better. So if he plays in this next game, I don't think he will. We'll see. But whenever he comes back, we look forward to seeing that Roquan on the field. Justin Houston. Next question came from my guy, Ryan. He said, "Hey, Raven, first off, love the vids. Keep up the good work, bro." Appreciate you, Ryan. Thank you. He said, "This is my first time ever asking a question, but it randomly popped in my head with the pass rush situation. Somebody nobody has really brought up for the Ravens to look into is Justin Houston. And my question is, why? He's sitting there as a free agent. He had a good term with us. Feel like it wouldn't hurt at all and could definitely benefit the team." Justin Houston, when he was with the Baltimore Ravens, he was not bad at all. But as he got older, his last years with the Ravens, stuff just seemed like it started to slow down a bit for Justin Houston. And not the quarterback kind of slow down. Like, you know, when a quarterback gets a little older, they say, "Oh, the game slowed down for me." I really understand. Well, a lot of players say that, not even just quarterbacks, but it seemed like he slowed down. I mean, then he turned into more. I mean, he was pretty much always for the Ravens a situational pass rusher for the most part. But I think his main job, his priority, his focus was to obviously come in and help, but help build up a Adolphe Ayeway too. Help get him right so he could do his thing. Pass rush hasn't been the worst. Against the Bengals, they're pretty good. Against the Steelers, they actually weren't bad too. But the cornerbacks, they were holding up their end of the bargain too. So let's see how it goes. Let's see how it goes. And I mean, they still, what's crazy to me, they got Ajabo sitting there, inactive, week after week. For the past couple of weeks, he's been inactive. So it's like, hey, what's going on with David Ajabo? This is a former second round pick, and we saw he got that mean spin move and whatnot. What's happening with him? But I just don't see Justin Houston to the Ravens happening again. TCU reunion. Next question came from my guy, Augusto. He said, "Ain't Uncle Augusto here, long time no see, fam. I never really seen questions here. It's been years." Yeah, it has literally been years. And I see by the length of this question, then you are back to your old ways. And he said, "I always comment, like, and watch the videos." I appreciate that, man. I actually spend more time watching your channel than any other. I know I usually don't show up on questions or comments, but I've been a daily watcher for about 6 or 7 years. You literally been through all of my high school and college life, Unc. You see what he did? He called me Unc not once, but twice, at least so far. Let's see how it continues. Anyway, he said, "It's hilarious how my father, anytime I'm watching something on my phone, asks if I'm watching you. All love for me and the OG. My dad is a Steelers fan. A cool one, by the way." Oh, okay. I was about to say shout out to your dad. Shout out to him for being your father, but not shout out to him for being a Steelers fan. But no, it's cool, man. He said, "Anyway, sorry for the long intro, but I wanted to greet you. The GOAT." Nope, that's wrong. Properly, "You're the GOAT even though you say you ain't." No, we definitely not. Anyway, he said, "My question is for the 2025 season." Oh, you already thinking ahead. Okay. He said, "I do not think that Eddie Jackson will be around at all." He won't. "And Marcus Williams will be traded for a bag of chips and a conditional fourth round pick." I can see that. He ain't going for no first. He not going for no second. He ain't a third. Probably not, especially with his contract. So, yeah, I could definitely see that. A fourth and some change. Yeah. Anyway, he said, "And having a need at safety, I think the Ravens could pursue a man known to one of our best players, Ardarius Washington." Oh, geez, no, we've always been high on Ardarius Washington. We need a nickname for Ardarius, too, by the way. That man being his former college teammate, former second-round pick from the same class, Trayvon Morick.
He was on the Raiders, right? I think he was on the Raiders. He said, I don't think the Ravens will ever spend big money on a safety again for obvious reasons. Don't think they'll pursue big name free agent safety like Javon Holland, Jeremy Chin, Hufanga. Morig's addition to the Ravens will be perfect since you're not breaking the bank by signing him. He could perfectly fit into the scheme. You're reuniting him with his former teammate, and you allow super duper ultra mega Kyle to keep being that menacing heat seeking missile that he is. That's interesting. Yeah, because they did play together. Trayvon Morig, was he not a first? I forgot what round he got drafted in, but obviously his teammate Ardarius Washington was undrafted. I remember when Ardarius Washington went undrafted, and I was watching film on him because I didn't know nothing about him. But then when we signed him, I was like, okay, let me watch, see how he was. And I was wondering why he didn't get drafted. Then I did see a lot of people say, oh, well, because he benefited off of the other safety that was next to him. I was like, oh, well, he looks like he could still play. And that boy could still play. Anyway, he said, why do I think they could pursue him? Well, though the Ravens are really high on the homegrown talent, Bo Braid, as well as I am, I don't think he'll get a shot this early, just like Ardarius Washington, who was easing slowly. Hope he gets his shot, though. But as I have the Ravens being the Super Bowl champs this year, they'll keep being on win now mode. Hopefully Harbaugh goes away. They'll need, you know, he ain't going nowhere. He said, they'll need a good safety that doesn't break the bank, being Morig. And he said, I'm calling out Mr. Sam Cook. If you listen to this, please take your valuable time, if you may, to please make a better holder out of Jordan Stout. He's a great punter, but not a great holder. Don't even do it for the Ravens. Do it for your lifelong friend, Justin Tucker, so he doesn't retire as a bad kicker. Please. Sorry for the long message. All love, Unc. He done did it again. And a big shout out to all the team. Keep it clean, your family, your wife, and children. And just as Patrick McCarthy's discipline. I'm out. Hey, it could work. It could work. But the Ravens, they're going to break the bank on a safety next year for sure. That means Kyle Hamilton. I'm done. Next question came from my guy Josiah. He said, what's good, Engraven? This is fresh off the game, so it might be a little all over the place. Not going to make this too long because there's so much wrong with the Ravens from coaching and no discipline. He said he ain't going to make this too long. I wish y'all could see this. Anyway, he said, to penalties, to drops. I get why you and some parts of the flock still beg for a wide receiver one now. By the way, I love Zay, but all of our wide receivers drop the ball semi-consistently in big games, and it's honestly because they're not physical and catch with their bodies, so we still don't have a true wide receiver one. To not even Tucker, he lost us 6 points. What I really wanted to say, though, was I envy all the other good teams in the league, to be honest. Mahomes could be doo-doo for 90% of the game, but in the fourth quarter, the whole team turns the switch on and they find ways to win. Not saying Lamar is perfect, but he makes game-winning plays that simply never work out by a turnover, a drop, a penalty, or simply the defense failing us after he gives them the lead. Another team is the Lions. Goff threw 5 picks and his team still locked in enough to win. Lamar could never have an off game and we still win. That's not true. Because that's happened before. There was a game with Lamar Jackson against the Browns in Baltimore. The M&T Bank said he threw not one, not two, not three, but 4 interceptions. Lamar threw 4 picks. Baltimore Ravens still won. And coincidentally, every single one of those passes was intended for Mark Andrews. But anyway, he said he has to be Superman constantly or the team simply folds. It's actually crazy how we are not good enough to win without Superman. Lamar, these Ravens right now, it does seem that way. But real quick, let me continue though. He said, it's going to be hard to watch the national media this week, but honestly, it's deserved. I'm off giving the Ravens the benefit of the doubt, and from now on, I'm going to assume we lose close, important games, and it's not a rivalry anymore. The Steelers are our daddy. And also, no more Super Bowl talk from me until Lamar is having a post-game interview after winning the AFC Championship game. You are what you are, and the Ravens are chokers in the biggest game, and just like the Ravens, most likely when we reach the playoffs, I'm out. Well, I mean, he did title this question, I'm done, so I guess Josiah is done. But guess what, buddy? The Ravens aren't. Forever identity crisis. Next question came from my guy Alex. He said, hey, how's it going, Engraven? Hope all is well with you and the family. Everything is good. I appreciate you, Alex. He said, I watch and pre-like all your videos. I've been watching you for years now. This is my second question ever sent because I'm more of a listener than a person who engages. But this season, I'm more ready to be engaged. Hey, we love it, man. Be engaged, man. I appreciate that, though, man. He said, after watching the Ravens lose yet another game to the Pittsburgh Steelers and the way they lost, not using their run game, especially Derrick Henry, should we have even gotten Derrick Henry? Oh, my goodness. Yes. Yes, this is not, ain't no regret for the Ravens signing Derrick Henry. They signed him for super cheap, but he's still an amazing running back. The Ravens just, they've been doing some Ravens type of stuff with him in a lot of different games and whatnot. But anyway, he said, I mean, he's my favorite running back in the league, and I love having him on a team. I really do, but I just feel like these big games against coaches that John Harbaugh struggles against, I just don't see the Ravens will be able to get over the hump in the playoffs to get to the Super Bowl because I don't have confidence in Harbaugh and how he panics and decides to throw away the run game. I think we could easily win these games if we trusted the process and more trusted Derrick Henry, keeping him off the field and not taking him off. Why take him off on that 2-point conversion, too? I didn't like the play call, but at least he would have been used as a decoy. That's true. That's on point. He said, I almost feel like Harbaugh is nervous of stage fright against coaches like Tomlin and Reed, and it almost trickles down to the rest of the team. Well, again, those are the ones that know him the best. That's the one he knows the best, too, though. He said, it feels like we don't play relaxed and confident because a lot of penalties, drops, fumbles happen, and it always feels like deja vu every time we play against him. Some say it's Todd Monken's fault, but I think it's more on John Harbaugh, but I may be wrong. I'm hoping we can change and finally get that Super Bowl with Lamar already because he's my favorite player, but that game against the Steelers made me have flashbacks to the AFC Championship game with the Chiefs last year, abandoning the run and playing with anxiety. Hey, Lamar said the same exact thing you said. He said we got to stop losing games like this. He said it reminded him of the AFC Championship game. So it's still on his mind, which is great because they are going to get back there. But this time they're going to get past that game. Anyway, he said have a great day and great week. You're amazing as always. Thank you for what you do. No, thank you for what you do, Alex. The underdog mentality. Next question came from Legit Gold. He said, hey, Graven, hope all is well with you and your family and all the team. Keep it lean after this game. We are officially and for the rest of the season going to be looked at as underdogs. When we enter the playoffs this year for the first time in a long time, we usually go to the playoffs since Lamar came into the league as the best team to go all the way, but we definitely won't be looked at that team this season. The offense has been fantastic almost all season when it comes to scoring, and we were going to have a game where we have to strictly rely on our defense and special teams to give us the win. Defense came through. It was our special team that failed us. It's a long season. We can't expect Lamar to go out every game and play outstanding. We can't expect our offense to go out and put up 30 every game, especially against the Steelers. Lamar played a decent game, just not well. What we were used to, but we can't blame him for the drop passes and the fumbled miscues by the rest of the offense. If the King didn't fumble, that could have been a score. If Queen didn't get that strip fumble on Isaiah Likely, it could have been points. If Justice Hill would have held on to the ball, we could have had even more points. And Engraven, can you explain how that was an interception on Lamar if Hill took three steps before he got the ball taken from him? Man, I will never know. It's crazy. He said if Tucker would have made only one field goal out of the two he misses, Baltimore walks away with the win. I don't know. I think we go get another kicker and have someone compete with Justin for a spot next season if things don't start clicking, because these field goals are costing us and will cost us games. I agree. He said, we no longer should expect to win a division. We are no longer in control of what we have to rely on other teams to beat the Steelers for us. Well, the Browns did it, so we got a shot. Like, that woke the division up for the Ravens. That the fact that the Browns beat the Steelers on Thursday night, so that was great. He said, we're going to be a wild card team, but that could be a good thing. That could give this team an underdog mentality that they used to feed on. I don't know. I'm just trying to look at the positives. I mean, one positive is the defense stepped up and hopefully can build off of that game. We agree. Every point counts in this league, and we basically lost to a kicker in their defense. I knew it was going to be a tough game, but just like every loss we've had this season, the Ravens beat themselves. I mean, you still got to give other teams credit, too, but Ravens like to make it easier for people. They start just doing silly stuff. He said, on the next week against the Chargers on Monday night. And just like the Ravens, hope of clinching the division. I'm out. Simple adjustments. Next question came from my guy DJ. He said, what's up, Engraven? I appreciate you taking the time a couple of weeks ago to respond to my first question. And now that we done seen the flock lose twice since then, I wanted to see what you thought about a couple of things. Like I said before, only the Chiefs, the Browns, and Steelers really get back in touch Lamar. This time, the Steelers didn't even really affect Lamar's play from the line. It was more the secondary. Mike T adapted from cover zero to dime, and that's having six DBs on the field, which to me is baffling. Why we didn't have King Henry in more after the fumble, in my opinion, seeing how angry he would have been after not losing a fumble in 3+ years, I would have fed that man. Mr. 22 needs a minimum of 20 touches a game. Also, to be in for the 2-point conversion. The recipe for every one of our wins has been Derek runs about 20 to 25 and Lamar throws 16 to 27. Every loss, Lamar has thrown more and Derek has gotten about 16 touches. We need to stay true to our identity if we want to win the bowl. And that's why I'm not glad that this is happening, but it's better that it's happening now than come January, because then we can't have no conversations about how to fix it then. He said, also, I believe Wiggs and Marlowe need to be the 1 and 2 fruit punch at DB. I agree. He said, we have Tre'Davious White who showed out, and King we just brought in. Those four should be able to hold it down so Stevens can slide back into the nickel and linebacker role. Just watching the game and seeing Kahan really communicate with the whole unit showed me that if the fancy scheme isn't working with the same core players as last year, just put the dang players out there and let them ball. No need to do all this line work with your safety. Yes, 1 to 3 times to confuse the other team, but I don't want to quite literally the smartest player on the team with his head turned away from the ball when he's literally the emergency blanket. Stevens doesn't like to turn his head around. Just make that boy face the quarterback. Use his big body self as a hybrid linebacker in place of Kyle Hamilton, and then let them boys eat. We have four monsters at each defensive level, Nnamdi, Roquan, Marlowe, and Kay Ham. I think if we just fed the King, Bateman, and them boys stop dropping catchable passes, and we make a couple of tweaks to the defense, we're easily the best team. Oh, and don't get me started on the penalties. I think that doesn't necessarily trump everything else, but the penalties are right up there with everything, right up there. Because the offense this year, again, they had one game off against the Steelers. Okay, I ain't tripping about that. Offense has been amazing. The defense, they had a lot of games off, minus the Steelers game. So, let's see how they build off of that. But the constant in every game has been penalties. just about every game has been in penalties, and the penalties, they can kill everything. He said, although it does seem that Ravens get called more than other teams, I saw the Steelers jump a few times and never got called, or how Joey Porter was being a super handsy, and even the announcers talked about it, but we get called on back-to-back drives for playing patty cake. Anyway, sorry for the rant, but just wanted to see what you thought, sir. Have a wonderful day. And Flock, we up this week, and hashtag on to the next, and hashtag nobody. You must be Harbaugh's nephew. First take, be wild. The next question came from my guy, Jay Fire. He said, ain't Graven Jay Fire here again. Hope all is well. Just asked a question this past week, but saw something else that made me have to say something. Did you see what Mad Dog said on First Take after I lost to the Steelers? He said Lamar isn't even in the same category as Josh Allen. I mean, you know, he be flip-flopping. He just called Lamar the best in the world the other day, and then when the Ravens lost, and he's like, oh, no, Lamar sucks. And anyway, he said, not even Patrick Mahomes, but Josh Allen. He said, Lamar is so far below, you can look it up. I didn't want to disrespect your inbox by including that blasphemous video. I've also heard homies like Acho and Shady McCoy say that they would take Joe Burrow over Lamar. Why does our boy keep getting the disrespect after one loss and slight praise when we win? It's like they're waiting for him to lose. Boom, you answered your own question. You answered it. A lot of these media people, they wait. They wait. With Josh Allen, they don't wait. With Patrick Mahomes, they don't wait. With Joe Burrow, they don't wait. But with Lamar, they wait and wait. They give him these praise. They give him some shout-outs at first. They go, oh, yeah, Lamar doing it. Yeah. Then when he loses, oh, that's the guy you guys thought was the MVP? Oh, man, he's terrible. He's this, da. So, and it's crazy because with Joe Burrow, like, and look, Joe Burrow's a baller, straight up. But that team, they ain't doing enough. The defense is terrible. But with Lamar... Lamar's a baller. His defense been terrible, minus that game. And it's like the game where they were amazing, where they were the most amazing, they lost. But it's like Lamar this year, he's been able to really carry that team. He's been able to really carry that team. You got no Jamar Chase. He got a Derrick Henry now. Bengals ain't got no Derrick Henry. But he ain't got no Jamar Chase. He ain't got no T. Higgins. He got to take Flowers and Rashad Bateman, though, baby. Let's go, baby. But anyway, he said... why does our boy keep getting his disrespect after one loss and slight praise when we win? It's like they waited for him to lose. And where do you rank Lamar amongst the top quarterbacks? Where do I rank Lamar amongst the top quarterbacks? I already told y'all this weeks ago. Lamar the best in the world. Best in the world. Don't let the Steelers game fool you. He's still the best in the world. And the numbers ain't even supposed to be. His numbers from the Steelers game, what was he like? 16 for 33 for one touchdown, one pick? It should be 17 for 33. And actually, it would have changed because the game would have changed at that point. But that interception should not be that interception. It shouldn't be there. He's still supposed to only have two. He actually ain't supposed to have no interceptions this year. But Mark Andrew Rashad Bateman, okay, cool. It is what it is. It happens. But, yeah. Lamar Jackson, though. He number one, like, straight up. He said, thanks again for all you do, Flock Nation. And just like Mad Dog's mind, I'm out. And the last question of the week came from my guy, Joshua B. And he said, how we go 8-4? He said, what's up, Graven? Hope you and your family are doing great and all good. I can't say I'm surprised or mad at this game we just lost. I'm kind of used to it and disappointing. This was just a yearly, we are better than the Steelers, but we got our coach and beat ourselves game. Yeah, I guess that's the annual. That's what it needs to be called now because it happens every year, like you said. I could barely tell if we had Todd or Greg Roman calling plays because it feels like Greg was back with all the recall motions from the slide and all. This was by far Todd's worst game, and for the love of God, when a division is on the line, have your starting weapons out there, at least if you're going to call a bad play like that. Oh, you're talking about a two-point conversion, huh? He said, seriously, I actually can't comprehend why in the world a 6'3", 250 Hall of Fame running back who was getting more than 3 yards a carry this game isn't in while going for two from inside the 5 yard line. It actually makes no sense to me. I know when Henry wasn't in, we lost and wouldn't have got the 2-point conversion. I knew when Henry wasn't in, then we lost and we wouldn't get the 2-point conversion. If you at least have Andrews and Henry out there, the defense has to respect the fact that Henry is back there and the fact that Andrews is in the red zone, who is Lamar's favorite target down there. You also gotta have respect Lamar's legs. Gotta keep that great defense guessing. Lamar was let down by everyone but the defense, surprisingly. JT has to be better. If he makes at least one of the two he missed, we win. Weapons have to hold on to the ball better and stop with the drops. So I can tell everybody from Team Keep It Clean on the same page right now with everything. He said, but it also wasn't Lamar's best game either. He had some missed throws and times when he missed a throw that there was wide open lanes to run. He got to take that, being a threat that he is with his legs. That's true. I agree. Defense played amazing. The pass rush was there. Secondary played well, other than 21, who was about to get benched or at least snaps get taken. He said, thank God, by Tre'Davious White, who played really well. All-Pro Marlowe continues to be great, and Roe looked like Roe last game. Hope he's okay. That's true. It's weird. With all that said, we got the Chargers next. I got us winning big. If Lamar is upset about this loss and the team gets an extra day to rest up, we know Greg Roman and what he does. We know the running backs. We had to stop JK and 15, who is their best wide receiver. We have to make Johnson beat us and make Herbert fluster back there. What do you think we have to do to beat the Chargers? And if you were Hawks, what would you say to the team after this loss? I would tell them, what was that? I say, hey, look, that's on me. Yeah, I would tell them, like, look, even though it wasn't totally on me as a head coach, but I would tell them, like, look, that's on me, y'all. That loss is on me. But let's make this win on all of us. That's what I'll tell them. Anyway, he said, thanks for reading this. Much love to you and the team. Keep it clean. I lost my dad 2 weeks ago. And you and team keep it clean. And Bobby and Sarah have been really helping me go day by day. Oh, man. I'm sorry to hear that, man. Really, really, really sorry to hear that, man. Really sorry to hear that, Josh. So, yeah, I know that's tough, man. Really, really, really sorry to hear that, man. So, sorry for you, man. Sorry to hear that, man. We appreciate you still sending the questions in. Cause you still send them in every week after every game. We appreciate you letting us know that. We love you. We got a lot of love for you. We appreciate what you do for us over here. Every week, letting us know how we can have an even better record than the previous week. You do it consistently every single week. So keep doing what you're doing, man. Keep doing what you're doing. Just know that we, for real, we value you. We appreciate you. We value you. We value your time. We value your questions. We value your comments. We value your insight. So thank you for being you, man.